Good morning. I'm going to take a few seconds here to just talk to my family. I just want to express on behalf of Chelsea, myself, and my kids the thankfulness that we have for the outpouring of love and encouragement that we've already received in our short time here. We've only been members of this congregation for a few months, and we look forward to worshiping together. I look forward to being edified by so many of you. I was speaking with one of the members this week, and they just expressed like what exciting times we have right now. To have people like Brother Owen lead our minds in what we're coming together for this morning, to be building on the foundation of brothers like Harold Comer and Steve Patton, to have Josh be exhorting us in his lessons and getting us to consider what it is that is really the issue of so many of our sins, and to have parents and single people, to have old and young people working together in the kingdom is just, it's something really great to be a part of. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're so grateful that you're here with us. If you've been coming for a while and you're looking for a spiritual family that you want to join yourself to, I would advise that you consider joining our family here. And if we can serve you and you can help serve us, then we just look forward to the exciting work that's going on here in Tampa. If you have studies or people that you want to study with, or they've expressed a desire in studying, I've already had a member reach out to me this morning. Bring them to me. I'm here to serve in that capacity. I'm here to study with people that you love, that you care about, that you desire to know Christ as you have come to know him. And so just thank you for everyone making the effort to be here this morning. I put a lot of thought into what I was going to say. It's been interesting for me to make the switch from preaching every Sunday to now only preaching on occasion. And I think in so many ways it's been beneficial for me because I'm more selective of the things that I want to share. The idea of being an evangelist is lifted from scriptures this morning. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. I hope the lesson this morning will accomplish all those in some facet, that there will be some exhortation as well as maybe some correction that needs to happen in our lives. But at this time, we're going to go ahead and jump into the lesson here. I want you to consider this. Imagine that someone, so if you're a parent and you have kids, imagine that someone was going to kill your baby or kill your child. Would you want that person to be someone who was forced to do it or someone who volunteered to do it? If someone was going to kill someone, a family member that you loved, would you rather that person volunteer for the job or be someone who was coerced to do that? That's the example we have here in Exodus chapter 1. Pharaoh is the king of Egypt. He's the ruler of Egypt. And he is getting overwhelmed by the Hebrews, the Jewish people, and their numbers. And so he hires these two women to do that job. The king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other was named Puah. And he said, when you are helping the Hebrew women to give birth and see them upon the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall put him to death. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. So they are told by the king, look, as you help these women in their birthing process, you need to kill the sons. Kill the males, let the females live. So what do? They were forced to do this. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them, but let the boys live. Now, to the other side of the example, there's this guy named Saul in the book of Acts. This is following the death of one of God's preachers, someone named Stephen, who was out preaching the gospel. This is right after he was stoned and killed, and Saul was present for that. The very next chapter opens up with these verses. Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death, and on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him, but Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women, and he put them in prison. That is a terrible introduction for what I hope to be a very encouraging lesson this morning. This is what we need to be looking at this morning. The kingdom of God, the church, God's people, was designed to be made up of individuals who volunteered, not of people who were forced to do something. And in those two examples, you see the difference. You see Shiphrah and Pua say, no, we're not going to do it because we were forced to do something. And then you see the zeal of Saul saying, you know what, I'm going to make sure that no house goes unturned. I'm going to make sure that I get everyone. You see the difference in mindset, right? Between someone who volunteers and someone who's forced to do something. And here's the point of the lesson. I'm going to go ahead and give it to you. God has never and will never force anyone to become a Christian and follow him. God has never and will never force anyone to become a Christian and follow him. All of us who are here this morning and have put on Christ in baptism have decided to follow Jesus. And we do so because we believed in him. We have loved him. We've joined ourselves to him. And we have chosen to be a part of his body. And we want to be a part of his mission. So this lesson is going to focus on that. God's people will volunteer. Tommy, I know what you're thinking. Yes, that is exactly the mindset. God expected, yeah, let's get that horrible image off of here. God expected that his people, we're going to sign up for this. This is not New Testament language. And so we're going to spend a couple minutes this morning going to the book of Psalms. We're going to the book of Psalms. If you don't know where Psalms is, if you kind of open in the middle of your Bible that you have, if you don't have a Bible, we have some Bibles to give out. If you need a Bible, see me. I'll make sure you have a Bible. If you've received one of those blue Bibles that our greeters were handing out this morning, it's on page 262. But open up kind of the middle of your Bible. If you hit like a book like Proverbs, go towards the front, and you're going to find the book of Psalms. So Psalms 110, and this all these verses will be up here on the PowerPoint. Psalm 110. Psalm 110 is part of a group of psalms, a group of collections of poems or songs that would be described as messianic psalms. So psalms about the Messiah, about this great anointed king that was to come, the one whom God was going to choose and send to be the deliverer for his people. That's Psalm 110. It's one of those messianic psalms. It reads, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will stretch forth your strong scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power. In holy array from the womb of the dawn, your youth are to you as the dew. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings in the day of his wrath. He will judge among the nations. He will find them with corpses. He will shatter the chief men over a broad country. He will drink from the brook by the wayside. Therefore, He will lift up his head. This is a psalm about this great king. And look at his greatness. Look at his grandeur. He comes from the order of Melchizedek. He is going to be a priest king, not like Levi, not like the Levites, not like the sons of Aaron. He's going to be like this guy, Melchizedek. That's a great study. If you want to study about who Melchizedek was, he appears just a few times in the Bible. There are some amazing implications. But the point is, this Messiah is going to be great. He's going to be powerful. And what does that have to do with volunteering? I know the mic's not working very well, but I'm going to try to speak this in such a way that all of us can really hear me this morning. Why do I want to preach about volunteering? Well, first of all, we started a couple weeks ago doing Sunday night activities again, right? From the moment that the eldership said, we're going to do that, I knew I wanted to study about volunteering. Because it's a concept I've seen more and more throughout the Bible. That God's people would volunteer or freely choose to do something. And that's part of it. I want you to freely choose to be a part of what's going on here with your spiritual family on Sunday nights. The elders want that. I know Josh wants that. We want as much participation as possible in those things. But there's another reason that I wanted to preach this lesson today. I was speaking with one of our members on Wednesday, and I asked her, I said, how are you doing today? And she did something that I really appreciate. She goes, I'm fine. You know, honestly, I'm just tired. It was a long day at work, and I just feel exhausted. And I didn't know if I wanted to be here. And I appreciated her honesty, because I'm going to be honest with you. There are times that I don't feel like coming to services. I haven't felt that yet here at university because I'm still in this honeymoon phase. That wasn't supposed to be funny, but thank you for laughing. But there have been times in my life as a Christian where, yeah, I didn't want to go to services. There was times when I was a college student and I didn't go because I didn't feel like it. There's been times where I'm supposed to be preaching and I go because I'm expected to preach. But I don't really feel like being there. Have you ever felt like that? That you just didn't want to do something, but then you go through it and you're so thankful that you did? I think most of the times, if not all the times, that's how I felt. When I didn't feel like going to worship services, I'm glad I did because I was edified. If not by the worship, if not by the lesson, I was edified to be around God's people and have those conversations. But there are some of you who are here this morning, or some of you who are part of this family, or some of you who are going to be listening to this. And I don't honestly understand how you are here this morning. Like, when I think about the Osbournes and what they're going through with their daughter, like, I wonder, like, man, do they really want to be here? Like, that has to be heartbreaking. Think of Jane and her passing, and I don't know all the connections, but like, it'd be hard to be thinking about focusing on the Lord when you have difficulty in your life. I have a friend who this week, his wife had a miscarriage. And you know what? I just think, man, that would be really hard. And Satan, in the midst of those tragedies and those difficulties, wants to bring us down. Yet God is also doing great things. When I've stopped focusing on the bad and the negative, there's a lot of good to be seen. When our family suffers, you know what I've seen here that's been amazing? People sign up to do stuff. And I can't even sign up to serve someone because guess what? Our family's already taking care of it. Like, you got to be real quick if you're going to take someone some food. On Friday, I drove up to the building. Two of our members were waiting to get in here to do some work for the building. The young lady who is putting together the papers, the activities for the children to have re-emphasized the things that we're going to talk about this morning. No one asked her to do that. And if I just went through the list, you know what I know, that people just volunteer here. God is at work in their lives, and they just want God to be glorified. They want to be a part of God's family, and they want others to feel a part of God's family. So Psalm 110 talks about this great king. And this is a psalm written by David. And this psalm comes up later in scriptures when Jesus goes into the temple and he overturns the tables and he drives out the money changers, the money collectors, the people who are selling things in God's house. This psalm comes right after that. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question. What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? The Pharisees are thinking of Psalm 110. They say, the son of David. That's who wrote Psalm 110. The Messiah was going to be the son of David. So then Jesus says, then how does David in the Spirit call him Lord? Did you catch that in Psalm 110? The Lord said to my Lord. Saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies beneath your feet. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? No one was able to answer him a word, nor did anyone dare from that day on ask another question. David says, I am this Messiah's child. This Messiah, this king, this priest king was going to be greater than anyone that existed before him. He was going to be a conquering king and he was going to be a priest. So how does that apply to you and I today? Here's the lesson. Here's the application. Verse 3, your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power. Because this king is so great, and he's so awesome, and he's so amazing, and because he can conquer all his enemies, and because he is a priest according to the order of Melchizedek, meaning he has no beginning and he has no end. As a result, his citizens will volunteer freely. When you see his power, when you see what God, through Jesus, is doing and accomplishing in the world, you are moved by that. You believe in it, you see it, and you volunteer, you decide to join. So I'm going to say something right now. And if you are a young person, any young person, you have parents here, I'm going to say something. If you don't understand what I'm saying, talk to your parents about it. Okay? This is a serious statement. Young people, you don't have to follow or obey God. Did you know that? You don't have to follow or obey God. Do you know that? I want you to know it. I want you to hear it. You don't have to serve God. If you're visiting, I want you to hear that too. You don't have to serve God. Now, you won't get to heaven if you don't serve and obey God. Because if you love God, you will obey Him, and you will serve Him, and you will follow His commands, and you will serve others. But here's the thing, you get to choose. You get to decide. You should never feel like you don't have a choice in the matter. Because what God is teaching us is that His people are going to choose Him. No one should feel obligated to do so because they grew up in these pews. No one should feel like, well, my mom and dad expect me to serve God, and so I just need to check that box off. So, hey, I got wet, I got in that water, so made you happy, I'm good, you're good. God wants you to fall in love with Him. And here's the thing that His people know. Entering into this covenant relationship with God was not about what you get out of the relationship. It was not, you know what, God is going to do all these great things for me. He's going to give me all these spiritual blessings. Therefore, I'm going to get into this covenant relationship with Him. No, you at some point believed in the cause. You understood what it meant to be a part of His family. And God is looking for people who say, hey, guess what? Because I understand your cause, because I understand what you're doing, I'm going to raise my hand and I'm going to volunteer. And I want to be a part of that too. I want to be a part of that kingdom. I'm going to champion your cause and glorify you by living a holy and reverent life. And if that's not your motivation, you have some things to work out in your own head. If you think that being a Christian is all about, well, I get to go to heaven, that is the most selfish thing you could ever think. And that's not what God wants. God is not looking for people who just want to go to heaven. And when you start thinking like that and you start teaching that to other people, you make one of the most selfless things to have ever occurred in the world one of the most selfish pursuits possible. I hope you didn't get baptized because you felt like you had to. But I hope you were clothed with Christ in baptism because you chose to. Volunteering to be a part of God's family is not just a New Testament concept, but it is unique to God's people in the New Testament. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it for you. This is a quote from Jeremiah chapter 31, quoted in Hebrews 8, verse 11. Actually, I'm going to read verse 10. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen, and everyone his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. Do you know what it meant to be a part of God's family in the Old Testament? You were born a Jew. And then you were taught what it meant to be a Jew. In the New Testament and under the New Covenant, you first came to know God. And you first would learn about what it means to be a part of God's family. And guess what? Then you choose to be a part of God's family. And you choose to be born again. This time, with God as your Father. There's a big difference in that. God's people under the new covenant were not born into it. They chose to be a part of it. Because you got to your own place of believing. Because you got to your own faith and you've came into your own relationship with God, you decide, I want in. And so then you fulfill these three pictures that Psalm 110 talks about. After you have chosen and volunteered, you're clothed in holy array. What comes to mind for me with holy array are passages like Isaiah 61. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks herself with a garland, and as a bride adorns himself. Sorry, I said those pronouns wrong. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Maybe the language of putting on the full armor of God from Ephesians chapter 6 comes to mind. When you choose to be a part of this family, when you choose to serve this king, you are clothed in holy array. You put on something different. The next thing is this womb of the dawn. Maybe you've heard the expression, it's darkest before the dawn. That's what God is saying. His people would come or be born out of darkness. Isaiah 60. Jerusalem, get up and shine. Your light is coming. The glory of the Lord will shine on you. Darkness now covers the earth, and the people are in darkness. But the Lord will shine on you, and his glory will appear over you. Then the nations will come to your light. Kings will come to your bright sunrise. Look around you. See all the people gathering around. Those who are your sons coming from far away, and your daughters are there beside them. 1 Peter expresses it this way. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people from God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness. You're born from the darkness into his marvelous light. You are the womb of the dawn. You were born from darkness, you came out of darkness, and you are inspiring other people to do the same. And then he says this third thing. God's people who volunteer will be as the dew. It never rains in California. I remember one morning, Briella getting up, and she goes, "Oh, Dad, it rained last night." I was like, "No, honey, that's dew. Where does dew come from?" Dew comes from the earth. The earth heats up and it brings up this moisture and then it sets it back down. It's not rain. It's not something that comes from above. And God says that his people who volunteer will be as the dew. Do you know that Isaiah and the prophets talk about the coming Messiah causing deserts to spring forth life, because his righteousness will be like a flowing river? Places where it's never rained before will suddenly be full of life because of this river of righteousness. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes the things sown in it to spring up, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. Ezekiel uses this kind of language after he makes the dry bones become flesh. You see the same pattern. God's people who volunteer would flourish with activity. And they would be like these architects of a new world, bringing new life to places that had no life. Why? Because there would be volunteers there. There would be people who were brought from death to life. Individuals who wanted to build something greater than what was there. These volunteers would rebuild the world. They would bring life into a desolate place and cause growth all around the world. Have you ever thought of yourself that way? That you are the volunteer causing the world to grow. So you do whatever activity you can to glorify God because you love him. You are part of this life in the desert because you chose to do this. So what do those things do for us? Well, that's great. So what? What's the lesson for us today? When you understand and you recognize that God's kingdom and that his people is a voluntary thing, it's going to do a few things. First of all, it's going to make you appreciate one another. It's going to make you consider others and what they're doing. You know, it's really nice to come into a building that's clean. It's really nice to have my trash emptied out for me in the office that I have here. I don't do that. But you know what? We have people that do that. People who choose to do that. You know what's really nice? I don't have to worry about my kids after services. I'm not being defiant to the elders. I get to edify and talk to visitors and members. Because people volunteer to take care of my kids. If you're over the age of 18, you didn't have to be here this morning. You came because you love God. And some part of you wanted to be encouraged, and some part of you wanted to encourage others. The other thing that realizing that this is a volunteer process, it eliminates the do I have to questions. It eliminates those, do I have to participate? What can I get away with? Where's the line? When you volunteer, like you eliminate lines. Like that's not what you're thinking about. What were you doing the day you followed the Lord? Did you come to him because you thought that he was going to do something for you? I don't believe that. I believe you were inspired to follow him. So then my final question for us this morning is, are you acting like a volunteer? Are you here to help? Are you looking for anything you can do to make the world more holy? I love being a part of this family of God. I'm talking about the university family. I see how blessed we are. But I want to tell you something to those of you that aren't members here or maybe are visiting and it's your first time visiting. We are not a perfect church. This church is not perfect. We are not a perfect people. Our elders are not perfect. I'm for sure not perfect. And here's the thing, we're not even close. There's a lot of things that we need to work on. And you know what? There's a lot of things that are going to be difficult in the next coming months. And we're going to go through a lot of growing pains. As we transition back into Sunday night activities, those things are going to get complicated. Not only that, this is a large church. And I guarantee there are members here that you don't know. And you've been here for a while. And they've been here for a while. Y'all don't know each other. We're not perfect. You know what makes it difficult? Every time we grow, and that's what y'all have expressed to me, you want to grow, right? Every time we grow, it's going to make that more and more difficult. It's going to get harder. And it's going to get more challenging. So, you know what's going to help? When you've raised your hand and you said, you know what, I'm all in. I get it. I love the edification that I can receive from you, brother so-and-so, but guess what? I got to go talk to these people. Because I want them to be a part of what's going on here. And you know what? We're in spiritual warfare, and we've dressed in holy array. We've put on the armor of God. But as I go out into the world and that armor gets dented, I come back here on Sundays. I come back here on Wednesdays. I join myself to whatever activities are going on Sunday night, even outside of this building. I get my armor repaired. I put it back on and I go and I keep doing what I need to do because I volunteered. If you're not a Christian this morning, I need you to know you don't have to be. You can be anything you want to be in this world. Young people, you don't have to serve God. God gives you the liberty and the freedom to decide and choose. But hear me out. It does not mean that your choice will be right. And it does not mean that God will reward you for making a choice that he does not agree with. But you have that freedom. So have you thought enough about Jesus to love him, to serve him? Have you thought about what he's done for you? And if so, have you volunteered to serve that messianic king in Psalm 110? Because that messianic king was talking about Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, and we can help you better serve the Lord, if you need to confess something to your family here, we're not going to force you to confess anything. But we hope you'll feel like this is a safe space where you can say anything to us. And you'll receive open arms. And you'll receive encouragement. And you'll receive help. If you need to study the Word of God because you've thought this morning that it's all about what you get, and you've never once considered that God gets something out of this, we want to study with you. We want to encourage you. And if you're ready this morning to put on Christ in baptism, I hope you will know that is your choice. God gave you that choice and he gave you that freedom. But when you choose to put on Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins this morning, the angels in heaven rejoice. We rejoice at that. And I would love nothing more than to see some of you do that today. If we can assist you in any way, we ask that you will consider these things as we all stand and as we sing the song of invitation.